What is up, everybody, and thank you for listening to Brag Out Loud. I am your host, Chris Bragg, and on this episode, I am sitting down with Dylan Odom, someone I have known his entire life. He has done a lot in a short time, from professional wrestling to writing and recording original music with his group Harlan Saved, and to starting his own production company. We discuss all of this and more on this episode of Brag Out Loud. I hope you enjoy it. Dylan, how's it going, man?
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm great, man. It's something we've wanted to do for a while, is sit down, have a conversation, talk about life, talk about some stuff we've got going on, everything we've been doing. Now's as good a time as any. We're doing it responsibly. We're social distancing ourselves. 6 feet apart. Don't come any closer. But how have you been handling this whole coronavirus situation?
I mean, just probably as well as anybody else. It's a little weird, definitely, but you know, it's been some weeks now, so I think everybody's getting too used to the new norm now. But it's weird. I'm just ready to be able to get out there and do all kinds of other things.
That's, you know, that term, the new norm, it bothers me a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, in your opinion, because you're out in the public, you work in the public a little bit, is this going to be the new norm? Do you think this is what we're going to see moving forward?
I think it bothers you just like it would bother anybody else, because nobody wants this to be the new norm. And to assume that this is going to be what life is like from now on, that's a scary thought, but I don't think so. I just think it's the norm of right now, and, you know, like I said, just ready to be able to go to the movies and go, you know, really just do anything without even having that thought in my mind. But yeah, so it's been a crazy world the last few weeks.
It really has. And hopefully this podcast here will lighten the mood a little bit. Of course, we started off talking about the world and the coronavirus we have now. But I want to talk about you, Dylan. We've known each other I've known you pretty much all your life. Mm-hmm. I grew up with your mom. Lori, and her brother, Brian. He's been one of my best friends for, gosh, probably 36 years now.
Wow, you're that old.
I'm that old. He's a couple years older than me, so we'll throw him under the bus a little bit there. But, yeah, it's, you know, I remember when Lori had you guys, yourself and, of course, your older brother, Adam. You know, what's it like growing up in that family? You guys have had a crazy world. I know Brian wasn't. Brian would tell stories between him and his mom and his sister and the battles that you guys used to have. What kind of stories did you hear?
Oh, I mean, you're talking about Brian and Linda and my grandma, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard everything under the sun. What am I allowed to say? it's been crazy. Everybody, I feel like, you know, it's everybody's their own character. They bring something to the table, and I love them all. They can be pretty crazy at times. So this social distancing just gives me another excuse.
Well, of course, we lost your grandmother, Brian, and your mom's mom last year. Of course, right. We miss her dearly. She was like a second mother to me growing up. But on to better times, man. Like I said, known you all your life, seen you grow up a little bit, but we really didn't bond or really get close until, I guess, what, maybe 15 years ago.
Right.
I think I invited you and Adam over to watch WrestleMania with us at our annual WrestleMania celebration, and that was it from there. It kind of took off.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing for me, just because I've been an avid wrestling fan my entire life, but I had never, up until that point, gotten to watch WrestleMania live on television, which was, you know, that was like everything to me. And you guys were so inviting and welcoming. Your wife would make like the best food. She still has the best balls ever. And you might have to explain that one later. But
meatballs, yeah, guys, meatballs.
But
although privately, she'll tell you she's got the biggest balls in our family. But that's a conversation for another day.
She might. Jenny's something else. But yeah, I mean, it was really fun. And it was something that, you know, obviously I'd never been able to do before. And I never really forgot that. That was something that always meant something to me. And ever since we have met up every year and watched WrestleMania together, with the exception of this year. But I mean, it meant a lot. And you guys were really cool to us. So, I mean, that, you know, me and Adam both appreciated that.
We enjoyed it, of course, and happy to have you there. And you were just, I guess you were still, you were young, what, 14 years old, 15 years old at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say maybe even younger than that. I want to say I was somewhere in middle school at that time.
Yeah. So that kind of fast forwards your love of wrestling, fast forwards to when you're old enough to start making your own decisions and start training a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, but for anybody listening who doesn't know, I did spend a little bit of time, about 5 years, on the indie circuit doing some independent wrestling. Started out in a company in Statesboro, Georgia, called American Premier Wrestling. And I trained AP under...
Dub.
Yep. Shout out to those guys. They helped me a lot. They taught me a lot of things, and I really appreciate them just allowing me to come in. They really treated me like family. Got to really bust my chops there, and they've always been really friendly to me. Of course, I've moved on and done other things since, but. Those guys, I'll always have that connection with those guys.
Yeah, they had some pretty good characters there. It was a lot of fun. Shows, I unfortunately haven't been there in quite a while, but the shows were always a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember you guys would bring the whole family and come.
Yeah, oh yeah. The promoter there, Tom, he would always bring the kids in and do little activities with them. He was great. It was a great family-friendly atmosphere. Back up just a little bit, though.
Sure.
So, what did you want to be outside of pro wrestling when you were growing up, kind of through your formal years? What did you want to be when you grew up?
I mean, I've always had some draw to just entertainment in general and just the arts in general. I spent a lot of time drawing, painting. I play music. And I mean, I just always had this, you know, connection to anything entertainment-wise, movies and all that. So, I mean, I didn't really know exactly what it was that I wanted to do. I've kind of dipped my hand into a little bit of everything and just, you know, see what works.
I want to say you've always had a creative mind, always had a, you know, an artistic side to you. And, we always figured that, you know, you were going to go that route. And some sort of creativity, which obviously pro wrestling, there's a lot of creativity that goes into that, you know, mm-hmm. building your character. You were Nova.
That's right.
That was your primary character there. Tell us about that. Tell us about how Nova developed, and even before that, tell us about the initial training and what that entailed. Because a lot of people think, you know, you get the whole saying wrestling's fake and all that. We're not going to go into that topic today, but it's definitely the other F word.
Right.
But there's definitely a lot more to it. It's than just, you know, the choreography and what it takes to really put together a match and become good at what you do in the ring. Tell us a little bit about that training.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of all of those things. It takes one that's not only athletic, but also, you know, you kind of have to have an idea of what your audience wants, and to be able to tell a story. And anybody who's telling any form of story has to have some form of imagination. And I think that that's really what drew me into wrestling in itself, was the characters and the costumes and the good versus evil. And, you know, and we, a lot of people refer to it as a man soap opera, and I think that's exactly what it is. But when I got in, I had no idea what I was in for, but I had tried to study as much as I could. I watched a lot of the WWE reality show Tough Enough, trying to see exactly what they may or may not have me do. And when I got there, there were a lot of things that were very similar. It was very structured, and they start you out from the very beginning, and you know, it's a lot of conditioning. But the guys who trained me whenever I got my start was a guy who went under the name Patriot, not to be confused with Hulk Hogan. I was not trained by Hulk Hogan.
Or Del Wilkes.
Or
the Patriot.
Right.
From the from 80s, 90s, yeah.
and he did a lot of work with me, and he spent a lot of time on the side working with me, because, you know, and I was so enthused that I would, you know, I'd hit him up randomly throughout the weeks and just text him, ask him as many questions as possible. And I'd always show up a little bit early to try to jump in there with him, and he was more than helpful. I mean, I really appreciate all the work he did with me. Later on, I think it was Johnny Swinger did a lot of work with me. Johnny Swinger's a guy who has been there. He's been to all the top companies. He's worked with a lot of the biggest names, and he worked with me a good bit. And
he's currently with TNA Impact right now, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He's with Impact right now, and he's just a great guy. He spent a lot of time showing me the stuff that a lot of people don't tell you, as far as the psychology and just why something is done, and to make everything that you do out there in front of those people have a purpose and have a reason. And I think as much that I did learn while I was there, the majority would definitely be credited to the stuff that he taught me.
Now, in that, well, before we go any further with that, so who was your favorite opponent, or what was your the best match that you'd ever wrestled?
The best match I ever wrestled is actually against one of my closest friends now. He works under the name Dax Anthony, and which his name's Tony. And Tony and I clicked like you would not believe. And I was very surprised, because I, funny enough, as being a professional wrestler, I was still very shy when I first got there. I didn't know who to go to, or, you know, if I should even speak to anybody or anything like that. And he, you know, he pulled me aside, and we'd have dinner after every show. But my favorite match was actually inside of a Ryan's Steakhouse, and which is just, you know, if you've watched any wrestling, that is as pro wrestling as it gets. You know, you got people sitting around enjoying dinner while we're literally have a ring set up inside the restaurant, and we're just going at it. And he was such a great worker. He knows a lot, and he was, you know, we worked out beforehand. You know, this was my night. He was gonna put me over, and he did so well at just making me look really good, and. That actually was the night I won my first championship. And so, you know, that on top of it, you know, makes it even more memorable for me. But even any time I worked with Tony, he was always very giving. He was always finding cool things for us to do to make each match different. And so Yeah, I definitely would say my favorite match was with him.
Those Ryan shows were pretty wild.
They were. Somebody's like chewing on a. You look out in the crowd and somebody's got like a chicken bone in their hand, and they're like, "Yeah!" You're just like, "Oh my god!" But you know, it's like I said, that's literally as pro wrestling as it gets.
That is. If you picture, you know, indie wrestling and pro wrestling, you know, at I don't even say that's the lowest of the low, because that's, I mean,
it's about there. I think the lowest is maybe Backyard, but still.
But this is an organized promoted event, and it's, at a Ryan's Buffet. I mean, not only indie wrestling, but Southern indie wrestling.
Yeah, we actually used to annually do a match outside there in the parking lot with the ring set up with a cage around it, and that was a big thing. Like, you'd get people driving by that would just come on into the parking lot and be watching us. You know, people may or may not have even paid, be standing far enough back watching us the other side of the parking lot. And I mean, it was great. I really enjoyed those things.
But that's what it's all about. I mean, it's having fun, putting a show on for the audience. You know, paid or unpaid, I guess.
Right,
but,
right.
Any exposure is good exposure. But you've also, so you got to the point too where not only did you wrestle in the parking lot at Ryan's or inside Ryan's building, but you got to wrestle in a few other organizations in front of some decent crowds.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I've worked some bigger shows, and I mean, I was really appreciative of those promoters looking out and finding my stuff and inviting me to come do those shows. And no matter where it was or who it was for, I mean, I always enjoyed it. You know, those are the sometimes those trips to and from are just as memorable as the shows itself. But yeah, I mean, I feel very fortunate. I feel very blessed. Of course, I have taken time off to do other projects and stuff. But I mean, I've always had that itch, that love for the sport. And I mean, like I said, I just feel very blessed, very fortunate.
Yeah, I think since you broke your leg in Florida, right?
Right.
It was down in Florida, in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really haven't got back on the horse since then, have you?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked a few matches, a good handful of them since. Tried out a couple different things, went to some bigger places, but I worked a match in Orlando, and it was actually the same night as the shooting that happened there at that nightclub. This was a few years ago.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Same night. I had no idea that was going on, but it just so happened to be the same night. We did this sequence. I went over the top rope to the floor, had a bad landing, and I cracked my tibia, which is front shin bone. Cracked it, and then didn't realize that it was cracked, and I just was like, wow, that didn't feel good. But
anytime you hit your shin, it hurts.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, it was pretty bad, but
feels like you break your leg every time you crack your shin.
Yeah, and I mean, it was like in that moment with the, you know, the already having that adrenaline going just from even working, and then just knowing, just having that wrestler's mindset of going to the next thing. It was like, I stood up after I hit the ground, I stood up and was ready for the next thing, and it was when I went to go stand on it that it completely collapsed under me. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty crazy. We didn't do the finish that we planned, but we still finished the match. We I think it was like a double count out or something like that, and some guys carried me to the back, and I still had no idea that it was as bad as it was. I actually made the decision not to go to the emergency room that evening. I waited and drove all the way back to my hometown down in Savannah the next day. And then, of course, when I got to the emergency room, they did all the scans and stuff, and they're like, yep, it's broken. So it was pretty insane.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. You called me and told me. I'm like, damn, dude, that sucks. But that was a pretty good opportunity because you were down there. There were some WWE scouts there, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I was very fortunate because in the first promotion I worked for that I was speaking of before, APW, I was fortunate to meet somebody who is now working for the company and has made a name for herself. Of course, I know her as Macy, but she works under the name Lacey Evans, the Sassy Southern Belle. And she has been absolutely very helpful to me. She's done a lot for me, and we've just stayed close over the years. And in that particular occasion, I remember she told me about this event and told me, you need to come here. I'll be there. I want you to be in front of these people, and you need to show them what you can do, and just see where that goes. And of course, any opportunity like that, you're gonna jump on it. So I hopped in the car. I drove all the way down there. Want to say maybe close to a 6-hour drive, and stayed the night with her and her husband. And the event was the next day, so we went. And it was just, it was unfortunate, but she stayed by my side. She checked up on me. She's helped me mentally prepare to get back in the ring ever since. And of course, when I went back and did all that, went back and gotten back in the ring, she has been very supportive of my career. So I'm definitely appreciative of that.
We'll talk about more of y'all's relationship in just a minute. I want to show you this, and I can put this up on our Facebook page. That was her first night, without
That
taking a
was.
picture with Joseph,
Yep.
which is my oldest son. In case you don't know, she was wrestling as Ruby Mobbs. I remember that.
Yep, she
She
was.
she's. It's funny because
The
I've got
gem
a.
of the South.
Yes. I've got a picture. You were talking about the Patriot earlier, James.
Yep.
I've got a picture that he signed, a little 8x10 or
Yeah.
6x, what, it was a smaller picture, but he signed it, and on the back she signed the Ruby Mob's name
Nice.
on there. So if I ever meet her or catch up with her, or if you get in touch with her, we'll have to show her that. But
Oh yeah. A
great
lot.
memories.
I used to keep a lot of the posters from the events that we would hang around town, and I still have a couple. But I remember the one of the last times I went out there, I took her one of the posters that had both of us on it, and she was so tickled to see that. It's cool to see how far she's been able to come. Of course, she's a former Marine. She has done. She was a military police in the Marines, so that's even smaller, demographic. She's very tough. She's tougher than most guys that I've met in my life.
So to make a small world even smaller, she actually, one of the guys she worked with, Chris Stevens, who works out there. I used to work with him at a previous job. Still friends with him today. She actually worked with him and patrolled with him
Nice.
out at the military
Yeah.
base.
It's a
So that's
small world.
it makes it even smaller. But that leads your relationship with Macy and her husband Alfonso actually leads to something else that you are really into. You're talking about being creative, starting 1958 Productions.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
You've traveled with them a little bit, had an opportunity to work with them and create social media content. Tell us about that.
Well, first, 1958 Productions is a film company, production company that I started myself after, wanting to do so for a while. And that again was a opportunity that Macy and her husband did help me get started. They were wanting to do a reality show that just kind of showed their life on the road, and just outside of just the life that they live now with WWE. And of course, being something that I'm already interested in film and all, they came to me and asked me, was this something I'd be interested in? And again, it was something that I was like, yeah, of course, I gotta hop on something like that. So we went out and did a couple little test things, and then I went on the road with them for a little while. And Made some towns with them on a SmackDown tour. Just filmed, you know, just anything and everything. And we put together a couple episodes, and I believe there is one up right now. The show is called Limitless Lady, and it's also on a YouTube channel under the same name. If you guys did want to check that out, it's pretty interesting. They're all characters themselves. It's her husband, and their daughter Summer, and I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, because especially if you're a wrestling fan, or even if not, to see, you know, just how other people live is already interesting. But you know, this is somebody who has made a little bit of a name for herself, and if that interests you at all, that's definitely something that, you know, you'd want to check out.
Like you said, you know, she's a former Marine. She's got a great backstory. You know, she's more than just Lacey Evans, the, you know, Sassy Southern Belle professional wrestler.
Right.
You know, she's got a very, very good, very strong story to tell. And yeah, those Limitless Lady videos, like I said, I've seen those that you produced especially. You did a great job on them.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of trial and error. We just tried to put together something that we thought, you know, other people would also love to enjoy. They were just themselves. They did what they normally do, and I was just there to capture it all. And again, it's something that I'm very fortunate for. I got to go see a lot of places that otherwise may have never had the chance to. And meet a lot of people, same, that I maybe never would have gotten the chance to meet. And so that was a really cool experience, and it gave us some good content under 1958 Productions umbrella.
Now, who are some of those that you said you got to meet a lot of people you never thought you would meet, a lot of people that, you know, you've been following, you know, in a professional wrestling career, mm-hmm. and beyond. Who are some of those guys that stand out, guys and girls, that stand out to you?
I mean, there were a lot of them, and I mean, all of them were, you know, just as surprising to me as you know, one to the other. I think the first show that we did was an actual SmackDown Live taping for Fox, and of course, as a fan, I was already just head over heels excited, you know, and trying to keep that at bay, you know, and be professional was the game there, so... I want to say that was out in Greensboro, North Carolina. Could have the name wrong, but it was out in North Carolina, and we got to the building, and I mean, you know, this is their job. They're just, you know, everybody's there. They're walking around, and like I said, just every person that walked by, you're just like, wow, that's really cool to see that these are real people and they're flesh and blood right in front of you. I will say probably the coolest thing for me growing up watching Kane, you know, that was probably the biggest one for me, most excited that I think, you know, I ever had to hold it in, you know, for any type of celebrity. He was really nice. Really,
the classic marking out.
Yeah, classic marking out. I couldn't do it in front of him, but in my head, I'm sure I was like a you know, walking confetti. But
great term.
it was really cool. But the coolest part was a lot of these guys and gals were really nice and really professional, and I, you know, you really have no idea what to think. That, you know, a lot of times you hear the term "don't meet your heroes," and none of these guys really disappointed. I felt very welcome there. They were all, you know, they would all come up, shake your hand, and speak with you, and they have no idea who you are. So that really stood out in my mind. But it was just all in all a great experience. I think that tour was like 3 days long, and each night we were in a different town, and so, you know, you're running into the same guys and gals every night, and eventually, you know, they're looking at you and they're like, oh, that's the same guy I talked to before. But I will say the most polite man that I've ever met, maybe even in my life, was referee Charles Robinson.
Lil Nate.
Right, right. Yeah, Lil Nate. He He came up to me the first night, and every night after that, he would make sure he came up. He'd ask me how I was doing. You know, he'd come up and just chit chat with me. And like, again, he has no idea who I was before that. And so that really meant a lot. And I really wasn't expecting that. That guy is a veteran of the business and very highly respected in the back. And for him to, you know, treat me with that same respect, that meant a lot, and I just was really not expecting that.
So you're talking about how open and how welcoming everybody was. One of the things we've always heard, a lot of wrestling fans have always heard, is backstage how guarded it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you know, they're very careful about who gets backstage, who they kind of let into that world. Did you sense any of that? Any type of guarded personality?
Yeah. Very, very much so. It's very tight back there. It's very just really close knit. They have people around every corner watching who's walking by, and of course, only because of my relationship with Macy was I even obviously allowed back there. But you know, once I was back there, and again over the course of the next couple of days, talking to these guys and gals, they were all, you know, they had become a little more familiar with me. But it is very guarded. They're still trying to protect, you know, the image, you know, of the business, and you know, just the aspect of that secrecy is something that is very important to them.
So obviously we talked about the Limitless Lady videos. What else did you get to shoot while you were there? What type of content was it? For those who may not be familiar with that.
Well, the like I said, the majority of the show is mainly the focus of their life outside of it. But of course, being that is her job and that's how she provides for her family, we did cover some of that. And so, I was able to film a little bit backstage. I was able to film a little bit of the event, and I did include that, just, you know, for those who do know her because of that. You know, we wanted them to be able to also see that, of course, you know, but the focus is the adventures, the stuff that they do outside of that. We went to a trampoline park because, during the days, even on tour, Macy will find something for her family to do, and her daughter, who is very young, to go have fun during the day. So it's not just about her wrestling. It's an adventure for her whole family to kind of go along for the ride. And, you know, and her husband is very supportive of her job, and he goes on the road with her. He travels with her. They do everything together. I mean, it really is inspiring to see how functional they are as a family, being that, you know, this is a job where you are gone and on the road for hundreds of days out of the year. And so to see that, I mean, I do give my props to them. They're very tough, and like I said, I just, you know, I to even have any part of that was it meant a lot.
Now, that was your first time kind of going on the road, working on a project like that. What was your takeaway as far as the creative side of that, producing that? You know, were you trying to get specific shots? Were you just kind of letting the moment happen in front of you and just trying to make sure you got it on, I'd say, film?
Yeah, I mean, that's the
tape.
Whole thing is you let them do their thing, and you just hope that at some point you caught that and were able to, you know, present it. And of course, these are episodes, so that, you know, those 3 days were condensed into, I want to say, maybe like a 10, 15 minute episode or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to take all those things and condense them down, it was a challenge, but the easy part was just going with them, because you're just there. You're the fly on the wall trying to show the world, you know, what they're doing. They, you know, this wasn't this wasn't a production like, say, Total Bellas, where, you know, and not to dig at them at all, but of course, you know, that it is a little staged, and some would say scripted, but, you know, there's no telling. But with this, it was completely uncensored. It was raw, you know, and Macy, if anybody knows Macy, she is very open. She will say anything and everything, and she does not care who hears it, and that's just who she is. And so that also was a really interesting side to see that, because, you know, her character on TV is very classy, very sophisticated, and that's what always was funny to me when she got that character, to see her in that element, because that's not her at all. And I mean, I love it. It's hilarious to me. But yeah, so it was just a matter of me being there to again, just capture it and be able to show other people what that is all about.
Now, unfortunately, due to the COVID-19 coronavirus situation, everybody got sent home. Everybody got taken off the road, sort of put a halt and pause to a lot of that production. What were the plans moving forward? Had you spoken to anybody backstage about possibly expanding, doing stuff for them? What kind of things you have coming up or planned for that?
I mean, there were talks. Of course, she's made a lot of friends there, and she had mentioned to me about some other of the superstars there wanting to maybe do something similar. And of course, I'm all for it. That's something that if anybody were to, you know, contact me, that's absolutely something I would do. But you know, like you said, it was all halted, unfortunately. But I mean, the plans moving forward is just, you know, when this picks back up, you know, we're gonna just jump back on it. It's something that I'm interested in, and I know she still wants to, you know, have her show and all that stuff. So that's, you know, when we get ready to jump on the road again, I'll be ready.
So much unknown right now. It's crazy. These are unprecedented times. In the meantime, you've been working on a few different things. You've actually got a band, or producing some music with a Harlan Save. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's been a project that's been in the works for at least 6 or 7 years now. That, you know, a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, and I have been writing music for some time, and Harlan Saved is actually something that I came up with. It was Harlan is my dad's middle name, and of course, you know, but those listening don't know, I lost my dad back in 2012 to lung cancer, and he was like my hero, of course. And so the album itself, there's a few songs on it that we're actually getting ready to release, but the concept of it was kind of my a letter to my dad, and that's something that's really important to me, to try and make sure that it's right. And so it's taken a little bit of time, but now, fortunately, somebody that I really look up to and is actually a guitarist of my literal favorite band is jumped in and helping in a producer role, and helping us just iron out the kinks and all that stuff, or, you know, and I'm really excited. It's just, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when you do entertainment, that until it's out there, until it's done, it's not done. Yeah, I try not to get too excited, but, you know, it's fun, and music has always been something that, I mean, and you yourself, you're an avid music fan. It's a whole different thing. So, I mean, I really enjoy it, and I cannot wait until everybody hears this, because I really do have to say I really am proud of some of this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, as soon as we get that out there, I'm sure, you know, it'll be promoted through Brag Out Loud and all that stuff. And so as soon as we get ready to do that, I'm just ready for you guys to hear it.
Absolutely, man. I'd love for you maybe to to create some music for Brag Out Loud and some of the other endeavors that we're working on. Who would you say, or what would you say would be the biggest influence on your music, music-wise, I guess you could say? I know you said, you know, it's a story, it's sort of a letter to your father, and that's, you know, that was, I remember all that. That's pretty devastating. But the, you know, what type of influence for this music, what kind of, how would you describe Harlan Saved's music?
I want to say it was somewhere in high school. I remember my buddy, who's the guy I was just speaking about, I write music with him. He introduced me to Simon and Garfunkel, and I absolutely fell in love with that style. And it's more of a modern take on that. And like I said, the guy helping us produce, he works with the band that is just something else for me. If music could describe a person, I would say this band describes me as a person to a T. And they're called Good Old War. They're a three-piece folk trio. They do really old-timey harmonies and all acoustic-y instruments and all that stuff, if that's even a word. But they
it is now.
It is now. But I mean, and I've been very fortunate to meet all of those guys. I've been to several of their shows, and they've always been super cool to me. And so over the years, we've just made friends, and they've shown me a lot and taught me a lot in just writing and figuring out how to do this in the most professional way possible. And so that's why another reason why it's taken a little bit longer, but you know, it's absolutely worth it, because I would not have wanted to know what our music would have sounded like had we not had the help. The gentleman's name is Dan Schwartz, but he goes by Danny Black. He has a couple solo albums out as well. He's the guitarist for Good Old War. But yeah, I mean, that I would say those two are my biggest influences. But I mean, I really like, of course, everybody loves Stevie Nicks. That was a huge influence for me just growing up. My mom listened to a lot of that, and it really stuck out to me. So it's got a lot of elements of folk and just like this alternative, you know, old sound. And that's pretty much what we are. It's myself and Shane Moore, and it's just us two. We do harmonies, and just the style of playing is very old-timey acoustic. So I mean, if that interests you at all, definitely be on the lookout for that, because that is definitely coming real soon, and the album's name will be 1958, in honor of the year my dad was born.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, speaking of Danny Black, you got to open for him on his house show tour.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
That was a couple months back. Several months back, he came through, I guess, Rankin here, what they call the house show tour. Tell us about that. That's a pretty unique venue and tour that he had.
It was. And I mean, it was just crazy to me, because, you know, this doesn't get any more surreal than this, because like I said, this was already my favorite band, and the fact that I've even been able to see them in concert, and then to meet them, then to be fortunate to open up this communication with them where I can now say that they are my friends, then to hear that he was going to be doing this tour,
he a just literal reached out. House show.
Yeah, literally a house show. This was a tour that he wanted to do to promote his latest album. It's called Themes. And he reached out, and I said, hey, I'm out here in Rankin, Georgia, which is just a little ways out of Savannah. And he was like, yeah, I'm down. I want to do this. And then he asked if I'd be willing to play a few of our songs to open for him. And, of course, I was just ecstatic to even, you know, the thought of that. So, yeah, he did come down. That was back in September. And it was amazing. This is stuff you literally only see in movies. I played a few songs, And then he did his set, and I mean, this, like I said, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. He you know, and then he stuck around and showed me some stuff, and he's just been such a huge help in our journey and you know, getting our music out, that I mean, I feel so grateful to him. I actually just FaceTimed with him earlier. He's like I said, he's just doing everything he can to try and make our album the best thing that we can possibly put out. And so, I mean, it's weird sometimes when I look back at some of the stuff I've been able to do, because it's just stuff that you never happens.
No, you definitely have had. That's one of the reasons, not only our chemistry, because we sit down, we've had probably hundreds of conversations, whether it be about wrestling, music, whatever, and we're like, why aren't we recording this? This is perfect podcast material.
You guys have no idea how many phone calls that I wish we would have recorded.
It's crazy, because like I said, we wanted to do this for a while. We've talked about not only doing just the kind of this conversation or interview podcast. We've done a few, you know, wrestling previews, talking about wrestling and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's always sort of what we always go back to.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. And speaking of the podcast, you know, we've talked about 1958 Productions, possibly doing some social media, YouTube video content for Brag Out Loud.
Yeah.
And a few other projects that, you know, we've talked about. I know you've got a project you're working on we talked about yesterday. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little more, a little bit of animation.
I'm going to stay a little bit tight-lipped about that, just out of, you know, again, in doing anything in entertainment until it's out there, you know, you want to try and not only keep it a little bit hush-hush just for the surprise of it, but also because, you know, you never know. This could go well. It might not be anything. So, I mean, it's something that I'm definitely really interested in. It's another form of entertainment that I've always I found exciting. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm putting my hands into something else again that I feel will be pretty cool when people get to see that. But yeah, I mean, just be on the lookout for a couple things is all I can say, I guess.
Is there anything you'd like to talk about that's coming up?
Coming up, you know, just the album, that's probably been my main focus. I jump from project to project just to kind of keep me busy. You know, you become, you know, you're working in one element too long, you want to kind of jump back. And so I'll go back and forth between doing a little bit of music here and there and then doing some film. And then, you know, I also still working a little bit of film. Chris, as you know, last year it was actually released. I was very fortunate to be able to use my wrestling background to actually play a wrestler in a movie alongside Shia LaBeouf and Dakota Johnson. And that was such a blast, such a pleasure. Everybody was super professional and friendly with me, and I made some friends there as well. And so it's just, like I said, it's so unreal when I think about it. But
the critically acclaimed Peanut Butter Falcon.
yeah.
Recorded locally, or filmed, a lot of it was filmed locally here in the Savannah, Georgia area. It's a really great movie, a really great story. Of course, your part was awesome to see. You got to rub elbows with Hollywood's A-list.
that to me just might even top just everything, just because that's something in itself that, you know, I think everybody to an extent would love to be in a film at all. And then, you know, and I had no idea what to expect. I was just like, they reached out, and I, you know, with my background in wrestling, this film does follow a guy who's trying to become a professional wrestler himself. And there then at the end, when he does finally reach his goal, there I was just I was just there to be I do play a wrestler in the film, and so that was really cool.
Nah, it really is. It's a great story. You don't think of a lot of wrestling movies or movies with wrestling as a topic being critically acclaimed or something that is really heartwarming, but it really is. It's a good movie. The Peanut Butter Falcon. Go check it out. A lot of people will remember it because that was when Shia LaBeouf got arrested in Savannah. He was having a time personally, but you actually became friends with him a little bit. Got to know him a little bit, right?
Yeah, and so that the incident you spoke of, it that happened actually the Saturday before we began filming. We started on a Monday. And, of course, you know, he was here and he had just had a little bit too much to drink. And, of course, you know, he's gone on in several interviews to talk about just how, you know, stupid that was. And, of course, it's hard when you're not getting that that close to somebody to, you know, to know exactly who a person is. But he was... He's actually a really cool guy. I was not expecting him to speak to me. I wasn't sure how he was going to be at all. And I remember the first day he got there to set, and there was a few of the background or like extras that were there. Mainly the female extras were just, you know, of course, just so excited to see him. And I remember,
Shia.
Right, yeah, they were just so excited. And of course, you know,
sure, he ate it up
would.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, and as most people would be, and I could just tell, you know, as appreciative as he was of that from them, I could tell that really wasn't the conversations that I would want to have with him or how I'd want to, you know, treat him. And so when he came up and spoke, you know, he came around and he spoke to everybody. He introduced himself, and there was just something about the conversation that we had initially that I thought stood out to me, but apparently did to him as well. And so, you know, every day that we were there, we'd speak, and we actually had lunch together every day that I was there. And like I said, that's a guy who was very humbled by that situation, and to the point where, you know, he had shared with me that his own mother was not speaking with him at the moment. That really meant something to him, and I could tell, you know, and that was something that stood out to me. That it wasn't just somebody who went out and did something stupid and just had no care at all about it. He was somebody that was really affected by it, and of course since has changed his attitude and has gone on to you know, do some really cool things in spite of that. So, I mean, I'm proud of the change he's made, and I mean, I'm glad that I had the chance to get to know him.
Now, Savannah, being our hometown, mm-hmm. has become a bit of a Hollywood hotspot.
Oh yeah,
a lot of movies are being made.
Georgia itself,
yeah. Obviously, many of the Marvel movies are being filmed in Atlanta. Right. I think it was it Ant-Man 2. They got some shots here in Savannah as well.
It may have. I'm not quite sure. I know a lot of the Avengers films have at least had spots there in Atlanta, mm-hmm. as well as some other locations. But definitely,
of course, The
Georgia.
Walking Dead, mm-hmm. you know, being
yeah,
filmed in Georgia. Gemini Man, the Will Smith movie that just came out last year. I've not seen it yet. I heard it was actually really good. It was just filmed down in Brunswick, which is about 45 minutes down the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
But being that, you know, you've had that experience on the Hollywood set, making the movie, is that something you'd like to do again? Is that something you'd like to pursue?
Absolutely. I mean, that I never really saw myself as getting into acting itself, but I mean, you know, and now everybody knows I'm such a film nerd. It is ridiculous. I love everything, especially in the sense of what it takes to put together these moments that you only see a moment of those things, but you have no idea that right outside of that shot there are just several, you know, 100 people standing around, and they all have to do their role just to make this one moment happen. And that has always appealed to me, and I would love to be able to have any opportunity to get behind the camera, especially more so than just doing acting. But you know, I never say, you know, no to anything as far as that goes. I mean, if you know, if something came up, of course, I'd love to do some more acting.
Absolutely not. I never say no. Absolutely. What movies inspire you? Like, what are some of your favorites, either whether growing up or that you've seen now as an adult?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, you did speak of the Marvel films. Everybody's a fan of those films, but I'm a fan of those also just because of my love for superheroes and comics itself. But mainly the films I like are more character-driven roles than plot-driven films, or that even goes for TV. I've always been something for characters. And a movie that even Peanut Butter Falcon was like related to, I guess, or people, you know, say is related, was Oh Brother Where Art Thou, and that is one of my all-time favorite films. The cast was great. They all did such an amazing job. The time, you know, it's a period piece. The accuracy, or even if it, you know, inaccuracy of it, it came along really really well, and everybody remembers the soundtrack from that film. It was amazing to this
Soggy
day.
Soggy Bottom still, Boys.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think I still have the album out in my car at the moment. But yeah, I mean, that's probably one of my all-time favorites. I grew up, you and I spoke a little bit before we got on here about spaghetti westerns, and I've always loved, I grew up watching westerns with my dad and all of the TV series and all of, you know, anything like that. So I've always had a liking for that. And anything Quentin Tarantino does, I'm a really big fan of that. I actually just rewatched Django a couple days ago, which it kind of is funny because,
awesome,
you know, with it being Quentin Tarantino film and also kind of having the appeal of a western, that was everything for me. So yeah, I mean, just, I have a lot of things that I really like, but just film itself is something that's always really been important to me.
If there was one movie that you wish you could have made, what would it be?
That I wish I could have made.
One movie that encapsulates, said, yep, if I were to make a movie, or if I could make a movie, that's the movie I'd want
to
make.
It's strange to say this because I don't know how well it was received, but I personally loved it and would love to do something similar, was a film called Cowboys versus Aliens. Just the concept itself was great.
It's
but
ridiculous.
Then, yeah, but then, it had Harrison Ford in it. It was
I don't think it was, I think it had a lot of hype behind it, but I don't think it really was critically acclaimed. I don't think it did as well as
right
it was supposed to.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was more so that it was such a far out idea that I feel like that's another reason why maybe
I think it was made before its time.
Yeah, I love the idea of that, and I think it's really neat to just think of like how, even in our time, how we would react to you know, aliens coming to, you know, our planet. But to go even further and think people before us who, you know, in times of the cowboy, that how would they even have reacted or survived an event like that was really cool. And I'm just really a big fan of Jon Favreau as well, who directed that, and he also directed Iron Man, and you know, and he does a really good job, and most people know him as being in front of the camera, but he does such an amazing job with the films he has directed that is insane.
Well, you know, we were talking about The Mandalorian earlier. He's one of the showrunners for The Mandalorian.
Yeah, he is.
So, and that's the conversation I was comparing The Mandalorian to, like a spaghetti western, some of that, you know, one of those old Clint Eastwood, you know, movies. you haven't seen, you need to watch The Mandalorian, man.
I know.
It's a lot more than just Baby Yoda.
Don't hate me. I was telling him I get to the point where when I hear too much about something, it makes me want to wait until after the hype is done. And I know I will sit down and watch it. It's just I don't want to have any opinions going into it. I just want to sit down and watch it. And so, you know, I think the dust has settled a little bit. So I'll probably sit down here soon and try and check it out. But that's it. Don't hate me, any Star Wars fans, for not watching it.
Oh, no. Maybe that's another podcast topic or weekly podcast. Something we could do is, maybe, you know, reviewing a show, whether it be a classic show or something new, or, you know, tons of ideas. Like we talked about earlier, I've got about 6 or 7 different shows that I'd like to do that are sort of in development. That we don't want to give too much away right now, but
of course,
you know, Brag Out Loud and whole, you know, the whole South of Logic Media, it's got a lot going on, man.
It does, man. I mean, I am really impressed with everything that you've been able to do. So, I mean, I'm more so excited for everybody listening that is going to get to check out all these things, because I mean, I also have my hands dipped in it, so you know it's going to be good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, people who are listening just don't understand. We've been twiddling our thumbs,
talking about this for years. But that's what gives you the best thing is the prep work, and it's just as fun doing the prep work. But now that we have the opportunity to finally sit down and do this, I mean, this is something I'd really enjoy doing a little bit more of.
Yeah, and I started my podcast career, so to speak, with the Ultimate Fight Show. Shout out Larry Cassano. I'll be in touch with you soon. you know, covering MMA and boxing, which, you know, led me down the road becoming a MMA and boxing official with Georgia and South Carolina. So much fun. You know, podcasting about, well, that was what, 6, 7, no, that was in 2011, so that was 9 years ago. God, it feels like it was just last year, man.
But I mentioned that you were old.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I know. Don't remind me. But a lot of things going on, a lot of exciting things happening. Dylan, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and talk about your life and your adventures, and I'm excited for many more to come, man.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it. You know, I have a lot more exciting things coming up. I know I've got some things that I know, you know, everybody will really enjoy. So, but I mean, this is so fun for me to just be able to do stuff like this. So, you know, I definitely enjoy coming back and doing some more stuff with you.
So check out Harlan Saved on all the social media outlets.
Yep.
Facebook, you got Instagram.
Yep.
And YouTube for Harlan Saved.
That's correct.
And then
Harlan Saved on YouTube is just, you know, search Harlan Saved, as well as Facebook. And we are on Instagram at Harlan Saved. We also have our first single out on SoundCloud at the moment. It is called Lawless.
Very good stuff, man. And also 1958 Productions on YouTube.
That's right. We do have 1958 Productions is on YouTube. We also have our first episode of Limitless Lady up on that channel, as well as all of Lacey Evans' social media as well. So you have plenty of ways to check that out. You know, if you're a fan of hers, or if you just love general life itself, reality and stuff like that, or big fan of professional wrestling, that's something I'd definitely say you guys should check out.
Sounds good, man. And of course, check out Brag Out Loud, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Dylan, it's been a pleasure, man.
All right, man.
Sounds good.